But how many of you believe, according to the scripture, how many of you truly believe that Jesus is coming back? He's coming. How many of you understand, I mean, and this is just practically speaking, we're closer to it now than anybody has ever been, right? Because we're further along in time than anybody has ever been. Now, there is a lot of, you know, people kind of argue about and debate about, you know, what that's going to look like. Is it a, you know, is there going to be a rapture? And if there's a rapture, is it going to be at the beginning or the middle or the end? Some people don't believe there's going to be a rapture at all. Anytime the scripture's talking about Christ coming, is he just talking about when Christ comes to the earth to rule and reign? Or is there this catching away and this rapture, which, by the way, the word rapture, that just comes from the term catching away in the scripture. So people, you know, talk about that, argue about that, debate about that. Let me just say right up front, I believe there will be a rapture. That's my personal belief, but I'm also not so dogmatic about it. And I believe that it's going to be before the tribulation period, 7 years of tribulation, but I'm not so dogmatic about it that I say this is the way it's going to be, the way it's got to be, and if you don't agree with me, then you're just wrong. I can't do that, you know, because there seems to be on both sides of this issue, people feel they have strong biblical evidence that it's one way or another. Some people believe that we're in the millennial kingdom right now. Some people believe the millennial kingdom is later. I believe that. Some believe that, you know, that there won't even be one. Or some people believe that it was in the past. I mean, there's all these different ideas about all of these things. And the scripture doesn't give us enough really to truly be dogmatic about it. But I want to give you my reasons why I believe what I believe. But more important than any of that is this, that no matter how it happens or when it happens, we have been commanded by the Lord to be ready. So the title of the message is Be Ready. And this is based on the fact that when Jesus was walking the earth, one of the things that he told his disciples was, await my return. Await my return, okay? So nearly every time Jesus spoke about his coming, he stressed the importance above all else to be prepared, all right? Mark chapter 13, he warns, Mark chapter 13, verse 33 through 37. He says, be on guard, be awake. Now the ESV, I'm using the ESV. The ESV says, be awake. Other versions may use the word alert, okay? Be on guard, be awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and he puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. So what is he saying? So he's using this idea, this scenario about, you know, if a man goes on a journey and he leaves his home, but he puts his servants in charge. Well, how many of you know that's what Jesus did? You know, he came here, but then he went on a journey, and he says, but I'm coming back, right? He left his servants in charge. That's us, right? Each with his work. That means we all ought to be getting about doing the work he's called us to do for his sake, right? Each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, or stay alert, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I shall say to all, stay awake, stay awake. So again, obviously he's not talking about physical sleep here, right? Obviously he's talking about in a spiritual way and talking about expectations. You know, it's real easy if I don't keep in mind at all times that he could come literally at any moment. If I don't keep that in mind, you know what's going to happen? The fear of God's not going to be operating in me like it should. I'm going to take my time on this earth for granted. You know, how many of you know, people say, oh, I got plenty of time about any situation. When you feel like you have plenty of time in any situation, you're going to slack off and you're going to back off. And you're gonna take your time, you're gonna procrastinate a little because it's not pressing. And so the mindset that he wants us to stay in all the time is, it's a pressing mindset that it literally could be the next moment. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 through 44. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Now, Jesus is obviously not calling himself a thief. He's just saying, you got enough sense to know that just a thief who can come and steal something from you, you stay awake watching for that thief so he can't steal something from you. Here I'm coming, and it's your life. You miss out on this, it's your life. Not just stealing, you know, something out of your house. So stay awake. You do not know what day your Lord is coming. And then he says, you know, he wouldn't, you know, the guy would stay awake to keep his house from getting broken into. And then verse 44, therefore, you also must be ready. This is where we get the title from. You must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And you know, I just think that when I was a kid, we would hear this kind of thing all the time. You know, maybe some of you remember the old rapture movies and stuff. I think somebody talked about this actually the other day. Maybe it was Sister Christine when she came. But man, I remember them old rapture movies. You talk about put the fear of God in a kid. And so there's nothing wrong with that. You know, some people say, well, why would you do that? Why would you ever do that? Why would you put somebody through that psychological thing? You know, that you know, people should feel secure and so on. Well, yeah, but the only way you're going to really feel secure is by knowing that you are awake and ready. Amen? And people say, well, you know, well, why would you traumatize a kid like that? Well, why would you traumatize a kid by not letting them or making sure that they're ready for that day when it does happen? So I thank God for that. I want to tell you, that put the fear of God in me. There were things that I just would not do because that thought was, I don't want to be caught doing this when Jesus comes. And he could come at any moment. Well, you don't hear that kind of teaching and preaching too much anymore. And so there are some who are still, you know, talking about that subject. And then you got some that are foolish that, you know, start setting dates and everything else. And that's not, you know, he never told us to do that, right? In fact, he told us we wouldn't know. So why don't you go ahead and tell somebody, you must be ready. Now, why don't you go ahead and tell yourself, I must be ready. Listen, the Lord didn't say, be skinny, be fit, be brilliant, be successful, be popular, be relevant, be rich, or even be a Democrat or Republican. He didn't say any of that. But what he did say is what? Be ready. So he isn't just thinking about coming back. He is coming back, and that needs to become a reality to his people again. He is coming back. When is he coming? Well, he's coming when we don't expect him. You know what that tells me? That the moment we start trying to set a date, that's a guarantee he ain't coming on that day, because he's coming when we don't expect him. The Son of Man, he says, is coming at an hour you do not expect. So again, this is a command to await for his coming. Why did he tell them that? That was 2,000 years ago. Why did he tell them that? Because he wanted to set in order this anticipation, this expectation that it could be any moment. So the command doesn't instruct us to know when, but it does instruct us to be ready, that there's never a time that we shouldn't be ready. I want to tell you, there in my life growing up, I thank God for the fear of God that was put in me. I had friends that would do things that, and they would say, well, come on, Dwayne, come on, you chicken. What you gonna? It's like, nah, I ain't doing that. Why? Because there was a fear of God that was put in me. And part of that was understanding that it could be any moment. You know, I don't want to be caught doing anything that he doesn't want me to be doing the moment he comes. That was a reality to me. Again, it wasn't traumatic to me. It was a good thing for me, and it kept me out of a lot of trouble, to be honest with you. Most people, there is no fear of God. In the church today, the modern day church, man, the fear of God is not only does it not exist, but people don't even preach it. And then they tell people it's just love, 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 and they completely leave the fear of God out of it. But it's the fear of God that keeps you from destroying yourself. So he doesn't tell us when, but he does tell us to be ready. There's another way to say it. Stay ready. Stay ready. You know, I remember a couple of times, you know, when I was a kid, one time I would wake up in the morning. Maybe you did the same thing. I don't know. But I'd wake up in the morning on a Saturday morning, and I'd get up, go eat me a bowl of cereal, and watch the cartoons. Anybody ever do that? Did you do that when you were a kid? I mean, I had all my cartoons lined up. This is what I was going to watch on a Saturday morning. Maybe some of y'all didn't do that, but I did. And you know, it was just kind of my routine. And so I get up, and I wake up, and I go in the house, and there is nobody in that house. Normally, I wake up, and there's people, you know, I smell food cooking, and there's somebody's laughing, you know, or there's, you know, whatever. You have noise. And I mean, it is dead silent in that house. I still remember. Dead silent. Nobody around. And I really believed that the rapture had come. And I went looking around. I didn't see anybody. I went and checked all the bedrooms, my mom and dad's bedroom. Nobody was in the house. And I remember seeing in the movie that little pile of clothes that would get left. And I literally was, I'm pulling covers up. I'm looking. I mean, I'm serious. The fear of God hit me. I sat down and started crying. And my brother walked in. What's wrong with you? I said, well, I wasn't real sure about his salvation. So I saw him and I was like, do you see mom and dad somewhere? He said, yeah, they're outside. They were out doing something. I forget what it was like. Oh, thank God. Thank God, you know. I mean, that was a reality to me. But you know what? That you would say, oh, that must have been a traumatic event for you. Let me tell you something. That was a fear of God event that kept me on the straight and narrow for quite a while. I had another friend. I had an old hot rod car. I just loved that car, boy. And so I was pretty protective of it. And I didn't leave my keys in that car. I just didn't. I still today, I'm going to take my keys out and I'm going to lock it, right? That's just what I do. My wife tells me, in fact, she fusses at me. She goes, why do you lock your truck inside the garage? Well, just in case they break in the garage. They ain't going to break in my truck too, right? And so she's like, oh, my goodness, I think you're just paranoid. That's just the way I am. I don't have a problem locking stuff up. So because other people don't have a problem getting into stuff that's unlocked, right? Some of you may have been some of them people at some time. But the point is, I have my car, and I had pulled over at a friend's house, and I had another friend who had called me. And he wanted to meet with me, and he was just, you know, spiritually, he was kind of going through some things, and he wanted to talk, and he said, well, where are you going to be? I said, well, I told him where I was going to be at my friend's house, and I said, look, just come meet me there, and then we can go ride and talk and whatever. And so I pulled up. I'm only going to be in my friend's house for this other friend's house for just a few minutes, so I literally, you know, I turned the key off, but I left my keys in, which I never do. And I went in the house, and while I'm in there, literally in that little short span, I come outside, and my car is gone. It's gone. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. Somebody stole my car. And so I began to panic a little bit, called the police, took them a little bit to get there, but the police finally came, and we're doing a police report, and, you know, I'm giving him all the details and whatever. And while we're doing that, my car comes driving in the parking lot right there. And I remember looking and thinking, and I told the cop, I said, that's my car right there. He goes, really? He says, well, who's driving it? And I didn't know. And then they come getting a little closer, and it's my friend that was supposed to come meet me. And I said, man, what are you doing? Why did you take my car like that? I thought somebody stole it. He goes, well, I thought the rapture came. He said, I thought if Dwayne left his keys in that car, the rapture had to come. And so I said, well, what were you doing? Where were you going? What'd you do? He goes, man, I got scared and I just jumped in it and I just started driving. He said, and I was looking for wrecks and stuff. He said, I just knew there was going to be wrecks everywhere. I was looking in the sky, thinking airplanes are coming down, all kinds. I mean, he just really, you know, I said all that to say this. Yeah. You never know. This was a young man who really, he struggled with staying ready. Can I tell you, that impacted, he still lives for God today. That impacted him. So, I mean, he literally thought Jesus had come back and he was left behind. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm telling you, it's not a bad thing, right? Thank God he didn't get left behind. But the truth is, we have to stay ready. So my intention in this and what I'm praying for, I'm telling you, I'm praying for all of you here, for everybody that hears these messages, is that as we're going through this, more than anything else, the legitimate, healthy fear of God literally grip our hearts to where we will never take his love or his grace for granted. Amen. Because when I look around at the church in general, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who take his grace for granted. And we put off because we think, oh, well, you know, I've been told for years that Jesus is coming. Yeah, 2,000 years, right? But yet he said, no matter how long it goes, we better stay ready because we do not know the hour in which he comes. And he will come in an hour when we don't expect it, all right? So we're going to kind of delve into that a little bit. And I want to just give you some things, how to stay ready, how to stay in a place of being ready. Now, we're out of time, so I'm not going to be able to really get into the core of the message, but I will just give you the first point without expounding on it, just so you can chew on it a little bit. Number one is very obvious. Number one is beware of distractions. Beware of distractions. You're going to have anything and everything trying to distract you from what is the most important thing. And the church has to get back to keeping the main thing, the main thing. And so, and I'm just ask you, just, you know, prepare your heart to begin to, you know, to receive that, the legitimate fear of God, so that we don't take him for granted and take the time that we have for granted, but that we literally surrender everything to him. Some of you are walking in your callings. Some of you are not. When it comes to the Lord, he wants us all walking in our calling, no matter what that looks like. So surrender to that. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for every person here, for every family, for every individual. Lord, for every person who will hear this message. Father, I pray that your fear, the fear of God, would once again grip our hearts, Lord. We know that your fear is not a fear that brings torment. Lord, it's a fear that directs us. It's a fear that helps us stay out of the ditches. Lord God, I'm praying that the fear of God would truly, once again, fill our hearts. God, if we've taken you for granted in any way, then Lord, we're asking you to forgive us of that, but we're asking you to show us how to not do that anymore. Father, we know that it literally could be any moment. Lord, it could be any moment when you come back and take us to yourself. Lord, we know that in the days of Noah, you said that when Jesus would come back, it would be just like it was in the days of Noah. People would be ignoring the truth. People would just be doing their thing. They would be partying and living and marrying and everything. God, they'd just be doing their thing without having you in mind at all. But Father, we know there was a day when you shut the door to the ark. The only place of escape, the only place of safety, you shut the door to those who ignored your voice. And Father, I'm praying, help us to be ready so that we can also help others be ready. We don't want anyone to be left behind. All of our children, all of our siblings, our parents, our loved ones, our friends, Lord, we don't want any of them to be left behind. So Father, I'm asking you, Jesus, put your love in us, put your fear in us, so that we might live this out in a way that brings glory and honor to you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're in agreement, why don't you say amen? Amen.